Welcome to Look Up with Pastor Mike and his wife Linda Sasso of Calvary Chapel of Eagle, a radio ministry designed to assist you in applying God's Word to your everyday life. For the next half hour, Pastor Mike and Linda will encourage you with your walk with Christ and help you look up to Jesus. If you need advice on marriage, life challenges, or relationships, call in now. It's time to look up to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Here's Mike and Linda.
Well, hello, everybody. This is Pastor Mike. Welcome to Look Up. And we're going to finish off our section today as we've been looking at Ephesians 5 on marriage. But I just think it's not right unless we break into chapter 6 just a little bit. Let's see how far we'll get, because we're going to look at family in general, because chapter 6 begins to talk about children and parenting and all that kind of stuff. So stay tuned if that is something you're interested in. And if you're single, stick around, because you might want to have to learn something for when you're married. Anyway, I'm going to let Linda tell you how you could can interact with us if you want to text or call or otherwise. Here's Linda.
Hello, everybody. Hopefully there's somebody joining us today. We realize this kind of starts off a long weekend, the last hurrah of the summer. So maybe you're driving in your car and you're listening. You know, that would be great. If so, and you can, give us a call. We'd love to hear your questions, if you've got any, especially about marriage right now, but we'll take any questions you may have. That number would be 208-377-3790. Again, that is 208-377-3790. If you just can't handle that thought of talking live on the phone, go ahead and send a text message to Calvary Chapel Eagle's phone, 208-891-2635. Had to think of that. You know, we just don't memorize those numbers like we used to. If you're out there in Facebook Live land, feel free to leave a comment. We keep an eye on those ones too. Hi, Doug. So, you know, let's get on with this. There's so much. You know, I want to start because we're talking about the love and respect. Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you, women, if you are respectful to your husband, it's going to be a lot easier for him to love you. If you're always around, do this, do that, it's really hard for them to love you. They can kind of put a wall up against that. But if you are showing respect to him, realizing that it is so important to a male, to the male ego, okay? Okay, not everyone. There are some men that have the emotions of a woman, but in general, let's say, and even the men that are very emotional, they need respect. They need that respect. So women, if you give it to him, you know, it's not a guarantee, but more likely you are going to be loved the way you want. And men, if you love her, I can almost guarantee you she's going to respect you then, okay? If you love that woman the way Christ loved the church, you're going to then earn that respect that you need so much. And let me tell you, that's one thing that we really try to do for each other, is look out for each other when one of us is down. He has a bad day. When, you know, before we had the church here, if he'd come home, he'd had a bad day. I could tell it was all over his face. Didn't matter if I had a bad day or not. My job at that point was to build him up, because he had pretty much been torn down, okay? And the same way, he can come out and see, especially this last year since the death of our daughter, I have good days, I have bad days, more good days now. But, you know, there are times he'd get up in the morning, I'm just depressed. And he would see it, and he would know that. And he would say, what do you need today? What do you need to distract you? What do you need to pick you up? Is it a Freddy's day for frozen custard? You know, that was kind of my go-to. Let's keep it halfway cheap, but my little comfort food in there. We watched out for each other. We had and we have each other's back. And the way you do that, men, is you love her like crazy. Women, you show him so much respect. You show him he is the most important man in the world. I bet you, no matter what's going on in your marriage, you could turn it around to be a good one if you would just do that.
Well, it kind of reminds me, you know, we have a caller, but before we take the call, I just want to share with you, my dad always had these one-liners. He's had these sayings that he would make famous. And, you know, it's like, it is what it is, stuff like that. Not that he invented that, but he had his sayings that everyone knew him for. And one of the sayings, I think he even had a plaque made one time, and it said, if you want to be loved, then love and be lovable. And it's so true. You know, my dad, he was just kind of a farm boy growing up, and he ended up being a farm boy philosopher. He had some actual deep thoughts that are worth repeating. And so, you know, you might want to make a plaque, put that up in your house. If you want to be loved, then love and be lovable. It's so true. People complain that they're not being loved, and they're so hard to love.
Porcupine. Yeah, you can't, like, hug a porcupine.
The porcupine going, how come nobody ever hugs me? Anyway, we have a caller. I'm delighted to say we've got Danielle on the line. Are you there?
Hi, guys. Yes, I'm here.
It's good to hear your voice, Danielle. How are you?
I'm good. I'm good. I just wanted to give the two of you a little bit of an update of my situation.
Okay,
and,
okay.
And then ask for some prayer.
Sure.
Also, please. So, really quick, our pastor did get a hold of my husband, and he spent some time with him yesterday at lunch. And, you know, he's seen some of the things that I was mentioning, and he sees where some of my concerns are coming from with my husband. So my husband's court date is on September 18th, and my pastor wanted to see if the restraining order could be lifted just for a counseling session, if I was comfortable with that. So, you know, I did call, you know, I prayed first, and then I called the court recorder. I can't remember who I called, but I called the people with the restraining order. And they said that it's possible to do as long as I feel comfortable and I don't feel like I'm in danger.
Right.
So
right.
I was like, okay, well, I think I'm just more in danger emotionally at
sure.
that point, you know, as long as he's not drinking. Because I know my pastor, of course, he loves us very much. And,
good.
You know, I know he desires what the Lord desires for us. So, yeah, so just wisdom with that. I mean, it looks like it could be something that could happen. But my husband, when he gets served the papers, he could just say, no, forget this. But, again, I ask the Lord to open that door or to shut that door.
Right.
Would that be someplace besides your home?
Oh, yes, yes.
Yes,
yeah,
okay. I just want to make sure that he's not in breaking that restraining order coming in your home, that you're going to a separate facility.
Yes.
That both of you are,
yes.
And it's to meet with the pastor. Okay.
Yes, that's
okay.
Exactly what it would be. Yeah,
and that makes all the difference in the world when you are having that kind of trouble in the home where you feel in danger, that you're meeting under the covering of your church fellowship, the pastor, the folks at the church know about it. That's a safe place. I've even had, you know, back when I was in Downey, there were times where I remember one particular case, a woman actually left the house and she was living in a safe place where people were sheltering her, and husband didn't know where she was. But we agreed we would all meet up at the church for a counseling appointment, and then she'd leave 5 minutes before I'd let him out of the office so that she could go back to her safe place again. You know, as long as you can arrange it so that you feel safe, that's an important thing.
You know, let's catch our radio audience up on what's going on here. This is Danielle, who called in on the 28th. One of our dear friends back from way back, we did youth ministry, everything. And her husband got abusive. She had to have a restraining order and everything. And she loves him. She wants to put this back together, but you don't put up with abuse. Okay. She's making wise steps here. And we know that this story is not just for her. And we're not just going to be talking to her. As we're talking about this, there's going to be somebody else listening that's going to be put in a very similar situation and is going to need to work out, you know, do I break a restraining order to meet up?
Mm-hmm,
you know,
mm-hmm.
Do I? Okay. So I tell my pastor about it and I let my pastor handle it. This, I think, is going to go a lot further than just to one person. And Danielle, that's why we love these calls, because hopefully we can help you. But in you being brave enough to call in and tell your story, you're going to help a lot of other people too.
Right.
Yeah. God willing. Yeah. I actually got myself involved. I signed up for some kind of a help group, and I won't give too much detail, but There's an author called Leslie Vernick, and she wrote a book called The Destructive Marriage. And that explains my marriage. It's not a difficult marriage. It's not a disappointing marriage. It's destructive, and there's a difference. Right. And there's all sorts of great resources and stuff I'm going to go through in the next 3 months, and I'm looking forward to healing and just starting that journey and just seeing what the Lord does with that.
Danielle, would you tell us that author's name again? Because there's somebody out there that's going to want to look for those materials.
Oh, okay. It's Leslie Vernick.
Okay, Leslie Vernick. Yeah. People, you heard that. If you need to get these materials, you've got a source right there.
Okay. Yeah, and she's excellent because she's not just one of those people like, just try harder in your marriage or, go to more, marriage functions. No, it's beyond that because we've been there. We've been all to the retreats. We've been to counseling. We've been in ministry. Right. We've been there. We've done that, and there was like nothing left. And then I realized one day when I heard of this author on Focus on the Family, she was describing my marriage. And I'm like, this is what I'm dealing with. Mm-hmm. This is different. This is not just your typical marriage problem. So it's really exciting, and I'm looking forward to spending time on these calls and with these other ladies and going back and forth with them and encouraging them on this site that we go to. It is a private site. It's just for women. So
wonderful.
It's a blessing. So, that and then just... I know, Pastor Mike, I'm happy that you're going into chapter 6 of Ephesians and going to kind of address the family because my son, I found out the other day, is not on the restraining order as well. I thought it was going to be me and my son and both my daughters. And then I found out it was not my daughters, and then I thought it was just myself and my son. Then turns out it's only me on the restraining order. So my son, I asked him, how do you feel about that? And he's like, I'm not ready to see that. And I go, well, when do you want to see him? And he's like, well, when all this is over, and I understand that, he had an important role because he made the call. He called the police, and he made that, and so I understand it's a sensitive area, but I also have concerns. He went through a season this past summer of, intoxicating himself. He went through a short season this summer.
Your son?
My 16-year-old son, and I'm concerned with the enemy's attack because that's what the enemy does.
Right.
He's faithful to be evil, so I'm concerned with that. And he shared a little bit yesterday, he's kind of struggling with that thought of alcohol, and I'm like, Lord, no, please, So I've been rebuking the enemy and just praying over my kids and just begging the Lord just to protect him from that. So. Yeah, if I could just get a little bit of prayer, that's kind of
absolutely
like the gist of everything at the
absolutely
moment. Yeah,
and I'm asking the radio audience to join with me as we pray for Denise. That's her alias right now. And so let's, I call her Dan? Okay.
Danielle. Father,
Danielle.
Father, in Jesus' name, I just lift up this dear sister. You know what she's going through. You know the challenges that she has. Yes. You know just how fixable her husband is and how fixable he isn't. Lord, I pray that you would use this upcoming appointment with the pastor to really deal with situations. I pray that this young man will wake up and realize what's at stake here. He'd realize how much is at risk, that he's throwing away a family and his wife and all this, which is valuable and precious in your sight. And so, Father, right now in Jesus' name, I pray that you prepare his heart. Prepare the pastor's heart. Give the pastor wisdom, Lord God, that as they meet, I know it's a good thing, in my opinion, Lord, not just to have some psychological counseling, but a man who's a man of God who wants to know your will, who's going to guide them biblically. So, Lord, use this pastor to guide them in the right direction, when to put the brakes on, when to move forward, if they need to put that restraining order back, or if they need to just move forward in a disarming, dropping your guard kind of way. Lord, I also lift up her son. Lord God, you know what's going on in his life, and he's starting to act out in unhealthy ways with drinking. Lord, watch over him and bring him to repentance. Bring him to a living relationship with you, Father, so that he'll come alive spiritually and that his life will be all about you. And so, Father, I pray your full intervention in this family, in the lives of the individual members of this family. Lord, bring healing and restoration. And Lord, even though there's been some history of bad records, it doesn't look good. Lord, we know you could break the bad habits, you could change the past, and you could bring them into a future and hope. And that's what we ask for in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
All right. Okay. Well, thank you, Danielle. Thanks for calling.
Thank you. I love you both. And God willing, I can talk to you soon again and update you hopefully with more good stuff.
Okay. Lord bless you.
Okay. Bye.
And now, something else to keep in mind with Danielle, as well as any of you out there who are facing a counseling situation or who need counseling, I highly recommend that you get, whenever possible, get pastoral counseling. I know there's a lot of good Christian counselors out there, but there's also a lot of bad Christian counselors out there. And to be honest, there's a lot of pastors who don't have a gift of counseling. But I've seen often women or men go to a counseling situation, and there's a counselor who calls themselves a Christian counselor, and they'll give advice that I've been thinking, what are you thinking? They'll just divorce the bum. You know, wait a minute. The Lord's desire is to heal this marriage. Let's make sure we do everything possible, first of all, to try to heal this marriage before we just dump the whole thing. You know, don't amputate. Let's see if we can heal the body part rather than amputate. You know, that's how I compare it.
And, you know, that's what we've been talking about in my Bible study, because we were just covering the unforgivable sin. And the one thing that we really came up with is our job to love and pray for people. We don't know their hearts. Only Jesus knows their hearts. We can never give up on someone because we just don't know what work God is going to do. I know we all have a story of someone that we would have called impossible that is now walking with the Lord.
Right.
So, you know what? Nothing is impossible with our God. It is not our job to judge those people. We don't know their hearts. We don't know what God can still do in them. We pray, we pray, we pray.
Yeah, amen. Okay, let's see how far we can get here with Ephesians 6, because we are looking at the topic of children obeying parents, because there's a flow here. Where we left off is that, nevertheless, that each one of you in particular, chapter 5, verse 33, love his own wife as himself, and let the wife see to it that she respect her husband. And I would remind you, before we jump into the children and parenting in chapter 6, that if you don't have a good marriage, you're not going to be able to have a good family, okay? You can't really discipline your children properly and raise them up properly unless you're role modeling that love and respect that every marriage should have, okay? But then, in line with walking in the Spirit and being obedient to the Word of God, it says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Now, out of curiosity, earlier today, I looked it up and I realized that, because there is earlier in verse 22, wives are told to submit to their husbands. But the fact is, these are two different words, okay? The submit that the wives are supposed to, it's hupokuo. I'm not even good at the Greek, but it actually means to be under the authority, or to be in subjection, or to be in submission. But the word for children, obey your parents, is actually to obey the commands of, and to be under the authority of, like your yes, sir. It's to obey. And so wives are told to submit. It's a different Greek word, that you are supposed to be in subjection and not always fighting and bucking the system, but in subjection to him. But children are to obey. Okay, big difference here, okay? So children, obey your parents, and it's right. And then it says, honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment. So now he goes and he continues talking to the children, and he lets them know that this honoring of the father and mother is actually a command from the Old Testament. It's found in Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 16. And it's the first commandment with promise. What does that mean? It means there's a promise that if you honor your mother and father, you're going to live long. Let me read it to you. Honor, this is from Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 16. Honor your father and your mother as the Lord your God has commanded you, that your days may be long, and that it may be well with you in the land which the Lord your God is giving you. I mean, that's right there among the Ten Commandments in Deuteronomy chapter 5. I mean, the next one after that is do not murder. So, I mean, it's up there. It's important that you should honor. Now, one of the things I wanted to talk about, we had time, and we'll see, maybe as we continue next week, we'll see where we go with this. But I wanted to hear from our listeners. Do you have a hard time honoring your parents, maybe as a child or maybe right now as adults? Where do you draw the line with that? Do you have a hard time with honoring your parents and children? You know, how do you get them to be obedient? Is that a big struggle in your life? I just thought that would be something to talk about. But our time goes quickly when we're on the half hour program. Remember, next week, starting Tuesday, we're going to go to an hour long program and we'll be able to take more calls. We'll be able to talk a little bit more about that.
Actually, it's going to be pre-recorded on Monday. Yeah. We'll be an hour on Monday, but we won't be in the studio. And you guys are going to be out vacationing somewhere. So I don't know if you're going to listen to it or not. But yeah, starting September, that's what's going on with us. So
okay, I don't know how much time we'll have, but this is important. Verse 4 of Ephesians 6 says, "And you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and the admonition of the Lord." I think what Paul is saying is, yeah, children are supposed to obey you, but don't rub their nose in it. Don't rub their face in it and say, "The Bible says you're supposed to obey me, so..." You know, I mean, just like Linda was talking about, wives could be much more easily loved by their husbands if they act lovable. I think fathers, it's easy for your kids to submit to you if you are a loving and caring dad. If you're a grumpy old man, if you're a drill sergeant, they may obey you, but they may resent you. You know, I had a friend back in elementary school that I don't know if his dad grew up in the military or what. I mean, went through the military, but his dad was so strict that when my friend had to talk to him, he says, "Yes, sir. No, sir. Yes, sir." And it was like, but it was out of fear. It was, they didn't have a loving, caring relationship. And so listen, dads, verse 4 of Ephesians 6, do not provoke your children to wrath. Do you know that you could push their buttons? As a matter of fact, as an adult, you should have more self-control than they do, okay?
You're the adult.
Yes, yes. You're the one who should be able to keep things under control and not always be pushing their buttons. And so it says, fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. So what are you supposed to do? Train them in Jesus.
Yes.
What are you supposed to do? Is let them know what it's like to be a Christian. The admonition is a kind of a strong word because it actually says in warning or rebuke. Training.
To exhort.
Okay. Yeah.
To exhort.
Depending on how it's used in a sentence, that word could mean, you know, a variety of things. So there's times you need to warn your kids. I really believe it's important to warn your children about things that can destroy their life. I know just recently our church, we had a booth at the Goddess Fest and we were sharing Jesus with the folks there. And what really shocked us, we talked to a lot of people who were coming through our booth and there were parents who were bringing their children to the Goddess Fest, being introduced to all these different gods and goddesses. It was pretty wild. And they were telling us, well, we are Christians, but we want to give our children the choice. We want to let them choose for themselves. And personally, folks, I think that's the stupidest thing in the world. It's kind of like, I've learned not to run out in the street when the cars are coming, but I'm going to let my kids learn for themselves. No, 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 no. You need to save their lives. You need to do everything you can to admonish them, to protect them, to warn them, and to bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. Anyway, our time's up, folks.
That's the end of our half-hour shows. Yeah. We go to an hour now. So, hey, it's Friday. I know it's a holiday weekend, but if you're in town, why don't you come visit us at Calvary Chapel Eagle? We meet at North Star Charter School at 10 a.m. We would love to see you there. So have a great time. See you next week.
Calvary Chapel of Eagle, just go to the website at cceagle.org. Be sure and join Pastor Mike every Saturday at 8 p.m. and on Sundays at 8 a.m. for his radio show, It's All About Jesus. If we ran out of time and you didn't get a chance to call in, you can send your questions to lookup@cceagle.org. And may the Lord richly bless you as you continue to look up to Jesus.
Look full in his wonderful face. I want to grow dim, standing next to you.